The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the human one comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' And the righteous will say, 'But Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them, 'I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me.' And then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. A stranger and you gave me no welcome. Naked and you gave me no clothing. I was ill and in prison and you did not care for me.' And they will answer and say, 'But Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' And he will say, 'I say to you, whatever you did not do for one of these least brothers and sisters, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." This is the good news of the Lord. When you were a little kid, did your mother ever give you a long little sermon on how you should be a good boy or a good girl? And you're sort of half agreeing with her. And then she ends it with a threat. "You won't have ice cream for 6 months if you don't do this." All you remember is the threat. Darn it. That's what happens to this gospel. This is one of the most important gospels, and that's why it's saved for the end of the church year. And it's meant to give us a very wise, broad, deep, and compassionate understanding of the meaning of our existence. And it's all about love. Notice, all the other things that we usually worry about and call sin, he doesn't mention once, darn it. All he mentions is how you treat the least of the brothers and sisters. So he's got to be real strong on this, because we don't have a very good history, even after this gospel, of obeying it. Now, Matthew does have the custom, probably more than any of the four evangelists, of ending his stories with a threat. And as I say, all people do is remember the threat. Off to eternal punishment. Oh, I don't want to go there. Who wants to go there? Of course not. But then we sit stunned and afraid of God instead of invited. Let me tell you why this gospel is so extraordinary on a number of levels. First of all, he's saying you're going to find the Christ in those that you came to give Christ to. It's a great turnaround. You think you're helping them, and in fact, they end up being Christ for you. Surprise of surprises. But the most amazing thing is that without any hesitation, he creates a complete moral equivalence between himself and human beings. He doesn't say it's like what you do to people, you do to me. We are the same. This is the body of Christ. And after 2,000 years, we still really don't believe it. Look how we treat people in our country. Look how we allow ourselves to be divided and to hate this group, this race, or that religion. And the amazing thing is, it's sort of salvation by accident. Because did you note that in both cases, they don't even know they're doing it? You don't have to be conscious. I'm doing this to get brownie points for heaven. I'm going to do this because Jesus said to do this. No, it's just you do it and you don't even know you're doing it for God, but simply the pure act of love is in fact pleasing to God. And I think we all know people who don't come to church like we do, but honestly, they treat their neighbor better than some of us. That's what he's saying. So people can come back. When did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? Whatever you did to the least of the brothers and sisters, you did for me. What the threat is probably saying, and why Matthew uses it 7 times in his gospel. It's just his way of teaching. It's going back, and you have to be a Jew to know this, to the very last verse of the prophet Isaiah. And at the end of the long 65 chapters of Isaiah, he says, "And all peoples will come praising God in Jerusalem, but on their way out, they will see those who are cursed living in the everlasting fires." That one verse became the symbol of what became Hades, Sheol, Gehenna, that was usually translated hell. And we all grew up hearing that word. But Hades, Gehenna, Sheol didn't mean a place of eternal punishment. You can't make God into a torturer, or God is not God anymore. But God in Christ is saying this, that your actions have eternal significance. It matters what you do. It matters whether you live a life of love or a life of selfishness. And he's saying, don't take the risk. And so I guess he does motivate us the way you motivate little children. You threaten them. But don't end up letting that be your entire or even partial definition of God. Because the real character of God is revealed in the parable itself, where he's saying, love the little people, the people who can't pay you back. The people that you have no reason to be good to, except pure love itself. That would be the law of perfect freedom. That would be to live in the kingdom of God, to love and to let go of the consequences. It's not that she can pay me off. It's not that she can get me a job. It's not that he can punish me. I'm just doing it because it's the truth. You are made in love. You were created for love. And when you act in love, you are true to your deepest identity. It's that simple and it's that hard. We've spent so much time avoiding this, emphasizing all kinds of other things that Jesus never talked about once. This is the only time in the Gospels where the same thing is listed 4 times in a row. The only time in the Bible. Because he doesn't want you to miss the point. That if you miss the point here, that it's about love, you miss the very meaning of your life. So remember, the real point is an invitation to eternal life, not a fear of eternal punishment. That's just to give you a little kick in the behind, I think. But don't let it destroy your image of God. God, who is love, has created you in love to be love and therefore to be like God.